Hello again, and welcome to Reset, 40 is the New Happy. I'm your host, Mike Morin. Now, this podcast is all about life's second acts, new beginnings. It's passion on a new path. Today, I'm with Michael Fairbrother, founder of Moonlight Meadery in Londonderry. How, and more importantly, why did Michael go from a software career in engineering to creating beverages that many people know little about? Perseverance and several international awards later, more and more people are trying and appreciating the fruits of his labor and that of his bees. All right, so what was it about your career that made you just want to throw it up and do something new?
So I had worked my way up from being a software engineer to a chief architect to a vice president of a software engineering team to a chief operating officer. I wasn't happy with my day job anymore. It was just more and more less of what I liked to do, which was creative problem solving, and more of people management. So back in 2007, I was a home brewer, and I was thinking I was going to start a brewery one of these days. Drove around with a license plate, said brewer, and at a holiday party for my homebrew club, I realized that when I pulled out a bottle of beer, it was my buddies hanging around. When I pulled out a bottle of mead that I was making, every single woman in the room was knocking somebody over. And I thought, there's got to be a business for this. Now, I thought I could do it part-time. That's how it came up with the name Moonlight. But in 2007, I formed the company, but I did nothing that year. But I win my first Amateur Mead Maker of the Year award. So in 2008, again, paid the state $100. Still nothing for my company. I win my second straight Mead Maker of the Year award. Now, by April 2009, that $100 is due, and I'm thinking, you know, this is like me and a gym membership. I keep paying, and I never go, so maybe I should kill the company. And my friends at Sam Adams said, Michael, come down to the Craft Brewers Conference. You got a lot of passion. You got a lot of talent. We really think you got something here. You don't want to give it up. So I'm at this conference, and I'm walking around, and I'm talking to these professional brewers, and one of them changed my life with one single sentence. Because he looked at me and he said, how can you possibly think you can do something you love part-time? And that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I went home and I started working on my business plan. And by that September, the plan looked pretty good. And that competition was coming around, so I entered again. And not only did I win my third straight Mead Maker of the Year award, I won Best of Show. First place out of 353 entries from across the United States and Canada. And I just started crying after that event. I just realized that everything had to change and I had to figure out how to do it. So I got in front of the town zoning board here in Londonderry on December 17th, 2009, and I saw six of my neighbors show up. Now I'm thinking they're there to help me because I'd never done this before. So I run across the room to shake their hands and say, thanks for coming. And the first lady in line, she looked at me and she said, it's not personal. I looked at her and I said, well, what do you mean? And she goes, we don't want a winery in our neighborhood. And I was like, why? Yeah, and it turns out that they felt that it was going to be noisy and disruptive to their neighborhood. But I went back to my chair and sat down and tried to think, what am I supposed to do now? And I'm like, this is America. This is the American dream, to do something you love. So I got up and gave the speech of my life, and I sat down and, you know, if you've ever seen a dog with high adrenaline, that's seen a deer and you see it shaking, I'm sitting in that chair shaking at this point. I'm trying to just not lose it because, you know, I'm a fairly shy man. And her husband gets up, and after about 10, 15 minutes, he says, well, what's he going to do with all the spent grain? And I looked at him and I raised my hand. The town administrator called on me and he said, yes, Mr. Fairbrother. I said, I don't know where he buys his honey from. They go, what do you mean? I said, I was a beekeeper. And they go, okay. I said, bees don't put grain in honey, and I've never seen it for sale that way, so I don't know where he got this from. Well, the town administrator starts laughing. The whole team is laughing. And they basically said, enough. They go, Mr. Fairbrother, we give you unanimous support to start your company in your garage. Now, I'd gone through a divorce at this time frame. I wasn't really having a lot of spare money in my pocket. And I'm at the town zoning board, or trying to figure out how I'm going to fill out all this legal paperwork for the state of New Hampshire and the liquor, the TTB. And I was thinking about, you know, why not just try it myself? I mean, how bad are the questions going to be? Well, we got approved in 3 months. So by May, we were fully approved. Because I answered questions like, how are you going to secure your facility? With the answer, lock and key. You know, when they asked me how I'm going to inspect how much chemicals I use every year, I put down visually, because those were the only answers I could think of. I didn't hire an attorney to create legalese for everybody to figure out what they're trying to say or not say. I just kept it simple. And we started our first production batch on May 20th, 2010. By July 7th, it was ready for sale, sold out in a day. I left my day job as a chief operating officer the next day. And within 2 months, we'd outgrown my garage, and we moved into this commercial facility. And within our first year, we became the first winery in New Hampshire state history to be distributed to California. And within our second year, we were in 7 states. By our third year, in 21 states. We're 4 years in, we're in 27 states in this country, but also nationwide in Australia. We just finished our 5th year of business. We're now in 34 states in this country, nationwide in Australia. The Japan orders have gone out. The South Korea orders have gone out. We're now making a cider as well. And I've been invited last year to be a guest speaker at the Robert Mondavi Institute at UC Davis. They flew me to Australia last year to be a guest speaker at the Australian National Homebrewers Conference. The National Honey Board's flying me out in a couple weeks to be a guest speaker at their conference coming up. So I'm considered one of the world experts at mead making at this point. And I've been I've been doing it for 20 years, but you know, it's been a real labor of love.
Well, that's quite a story. And you had mentioned to me before we started that more people that have heard you talk have walked away from their day jobs to pursue what they love because of the passion that you show.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's terrifying enough to quit your own day job, but to know that you inspire other people to do the same, but they've been successful. So I'm really happy that people can find the passion to do something you love. And when I finally took that step, and it's such a scary step to take that first step into the abyss, when I got over that abyss and I look back, I said, I should have done this 10 years ago. I would have been happier. I mean, I probably wouldn't have been as smart at how I started my business, but it was certainly something I had the power to do way younger in my life.
All right, so the public still needs some education on mead. So without getting too technical or too industrial, define mead for us. And I guess one of the biggest misconceptions is that all mead is sweet. Certainly not the case. So just give us a 101 primer on this.
Sure. So mead is the oldest fermented beverage. It predates written history. There's a cave painting in Spain that shows a young woman harvesting honey from a beehive. Now, bees can smell honey. Now, in this painting, she has a bag. Looks like a purse. I don't know if it's the first recorded purse ever, but yeah, it looks like a purse to me. And in that painting, she had to have water in the bag, because if you don't have water in the bag, the bees can smell the honey and they'll keep following you. Now, if you put water in the bag, the water floats on top of the honey, the honey sinks to the bottom, bees can't smell it. Now, honey is the only food source that never goes bad. Honey and water are the only two things that humans need to live on. And when you combine the two, the natural yeast starts the fermentation process. Now, I can't tell you where the word buzz comes from, but I can tell you that, you know, it pretty much started with honey wine. Now, it can be bone dry to semi-sweet to sweet. We make over 70 different varieties here at our meadery.
All right, so Game of Thrones, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings have the whimsical context in which mead appears kind of helped at all as far as getting a more mainstream group of people aware of your product?
Yeah, when I was starting, everybody thought I was going to go after like Ren Fairs or Wiccans or, you know, particular demographics. Mm-hmm. And I looked at a much bigger audience set. I looked at women because I said, you know, our tagline is romance by the glass. And I was trying to capture that essence of, you know, there's something magical about this beverage. And so, yes, the Game of Thrones and Harry Potter and people have read Beowulf. There's a diehard group of mead fans in the world. And that's great, and we love them all, but we want a bigger population base than that. And that's why we've really kind of gone mainstream with our product.
So I'm going to guess there's a lot of different ways to market a product like yours, but it would seem to me taste testing and getting out in public and letting people sample what you make might be the most effective way to do it.
Right. We realized early on that advertising wasn't going to work for us, and we had to figure out how to let people try our product. If you can remember back when Ben and Jerry started their company, you could buy a half gallon of ice cream back then for $1.29. Their business model was sell a pint for $3.50. So half the price, half the size, twice the price. What they knew and what they understand is give people something they like and get out of the way. I tell every single customer, I don't make this for you, because if you don't like it, guess who's stuck with it? I am. But if you love it and I love it, then you know we're all happy with it. So if they don't like it, I get more of what I like, so it works well for me.
All right, so you must be very aware of colony collapse disorder, which threatens bee populations. And since bees are your partners, how concerned are you?
Very. We only buy True Source certified honey, which is honey that is independently verifiable back to the beehive it comes from, so we know we're not dealing with corn syrup or other additives to the honey. That honey is sustainable. which means they're putting money towards the colony collapse research that goes on, and it's ethically sourced. So they're not trying to rip that honey out of the beehive and just kill the bees off to get to the next batch of honey to sell. So it's a crucial part to our business. Last year, we used over 40,000 pounds of honey. We're on track for over 50,000 pounds already used this year now.
Best part and worst part of being your own boss?
I do a lot of taxers. So I have to do tax reports for every state we sell into. State of New Hampshire, we just now got levied with a room and meals tax since we're now selling samples. And you know, that's probably the worst part about it. The best part is seeing people's reaction when they try mead for the first time.
All right, so with 5 years, or close to 5 years, Moonlight Meadery behind you, what will the next five bring?
A lot more automation. We're still bottling by hand. So, you know, it takes an awful lot of work to do what we do, and it's small batches. But we got into the cider business last year with a New England hard cider called How Do You Like Them Apples, which has been very well received here in New England. And we're just continuing. Probably within the next 5 years, we'll have our own farm to bistro. So more of a destination location than this industrial complex we're in now.
How many mead makers at your level are there around the country, as far as you know?
We're considered one of the top meaderies in the entire world at this point. So there's probably three or four meaderies that are at our caliber or at our level. We've won medals every single year we've entered the international mead competition, and there's only three meaderies that I know of that have ever done that.
And finally, your advice to budding entrepreneurs, maybe that software engineer who's listening right now, what should he or she do to pursue that passion?
Do your homework. You know, study what you want to do. Understand the pitfalls and trials and tribulations that you may be faced with. Don't be afraid to reach out and talk to somebody like myself. I have a network of peers that I rely on, ask questions of. Peer groups are really wonderful support as you enter into a business arena. I am now president of the American Mead Maker Association, so it's part of my charter to make sure I am helpful to any meadery that's starting up across the whole country or world. And I've had inquiries from as far away as Chile to Poland and all over the United States and Australia.
I guess that wasn't the last question. It occurs to me that craft beer is just taking off like crazy. Some of the new legislation has helped that happen in this state. With brewing capacities now close to 40 different places. Will there ever be a movement for craft mead making, which I'm not even sure if that's a category, but will it ever just go crazy like craft beers has?
I certainly believe so. That's why I put everything on the line for it. I see it as an entire new category of beverage. Just like you have craft beer, you have craft cider, you now have craft distilling. I want craft mead to be this category so people can think about, well, what am I in the mood for? I like choices, and that's why I choose to make so many different varieties, and I see a lot of people like that same diversity of choice.
He's Michael Fairbrother, founder of Moonlight Meadery in Londonderry, and this is Reset. 40 is the new happy. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.